praise you for all that you do and all that you've done in our lives. We pray, Father, now that you would bless the remainder of this service. Be with Pastor.
Good morning. I've been looking for this stool for several weeks. And I came in this morning and looked in this room. And then I looked in that room. And then I went back in the fellowship hall and looked in those closets. I couldn't find it. Y'all know where it was? It was. It was right there. Now I have to tell you that there was stuff on it. So it was being disguised and hiding. There were these pens on it. And I'm thinking that the praise team did that deliberately. They were trying to hide my stool from me. What do you think, Gene? Isn't that cruel? So I looked for it last week. I looked for it the week before. I looked for it this morning, and I thought, I'm going to find that today. So anyway, cruel people playing tricks on the pastor. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 2. We are again this morning going to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I just want to invite you to come on Wednesday nights to the Digging Deeper Bible study. It's a great Bible study. And we got talking about the Holy Spirit this past week. And Deb took notes last week, and she talked about, she got to a point where she said, who or what is the Holy Spirit? In the Apostles' Creed, there's a phrase that says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And so we would all say that we did, wouldn't we? But what exactly, or who exactly, is the Holy Spirit? I did a little bit of easy research this week, and I searched our hymnal. In our hymnal, there are 18 songs dedicated to the Holy Spirit. 18. I didn't count all these songs. I got a little bit tired of it after a while. But songs to God the Father and to God the Son Jesus were over 400. Now I understand, and we need to praise the Father. And I certainly understand, and we need to praise the Son. But what about the Holy Spirit? Isn't the Holy Spirit a member of the Trinity as well? And shouldn't we exalt His name? And somebody pointed out that we pray to God through the name of Jesus, don't we? This morning I heard Rick pray, and what he said was, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Holy Spirit, do in our lives what only you can do. And the fact is, I think maybe sometimes Baptists and other conservative theological groups are afraid of the Holy Spirit. What do y'all think? We've seen abuses of the Holy Spirit in different places, or things we perceive to be abuses. And so we don't want anything to do with that, and we back completely away. I remember when I was working with the search committee here before I came. And Bill Bandy, right over there, was chairman of that committee. And Sharon, in the back, was a part of that committee. And Sharon's husband, George. And one of the questions on the questionnaire was, what are you going to do if someone speaks in tongues during the service? Huh. At that point, what I said was, if someone speaks in tongues, I'm going to look for an interpreter. Because in the worship service, if there are tongues spoken, there must be an interpreter. And I said, if there is no interpreter, I'm going to ask that person to sit down. But I can tell you, I preached through the book of 1 Corinthians one time and said the tongues had ceased. There are a lot of people, good Bible teachers, who agree or who will tell you that tongues have ceased. And it's based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is what that thinking is. Now, I also want to tell you that 1 Corinthians 13 is the most misunderstood chapter in the entire Bible. We read it at weddings. Love is all these things. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is placed in Scripture between 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and 1 Corinthians 14, where it talks about abuses and things. Listen to what Paul writes as far as the gift of tongues. Starting verse 8. Love never fails. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. When that which is perfect is come, and many people believe that the revelation of Scripture, God's complete revelation of Scripture, was the perfect. I will tell you today, this is never referred to as perfect. It is referred to as the Word of God. The perfect is Jesus. When Jesus comes, tongues will be done away with. When Jesus comes, knowledge will be less needed. When Jesus comes, prophecies will go away, because now we see in a mirror darkly, but then how? Face to face. God can do through the Holy Spirit what God chooses to do through the Holy Spirit, whenever God chooses to do it through the Holy Spirit. There are places all over the world where people are talking in tongues, speaking in tongues, preaching the gospel, so that others will come to faith in Christ. It is an amazing thing happening across the continent of Africa, where God is using the Holy Spirit in amazing ways. In the Far East, in China, communist China, God is using the Holy Spirit to reach thousands of people for Christ. And yet, sometimes we limit. Maybe we neglect the Holy Spirit. I asked, Rick brought these slides in Wednesday night, and I wanted to share them with you this morning. Now, I know that those of you back in the Baptist seats won't be able to read these things, and I talked to Baptist seats about all the way in the back, but I wanted to come up here, and I just want to read these things for you. Names apply to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go clockwise. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Truth, Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of your Father, the Spirit of God, the Comforter, the Eternal Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit. What's next, John? The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of adoption, the Holy Spirit of promise, the seven spirits of God, the Spirit of our God, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of life. Names in general, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Eternal Spirit. Names in relation to the Father, Spirit of God, Spirit of your Father, Spirit of the Lord, Holy Spirit of God, Spirit of the living God. Spirit of our God, His Spirit, the seven spirits of God, in relation to Christians, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit of promise, the Spirit of grace. Is there one more slide? Here are the works of the Holy Spirit. You can get these later, you can ask. The Holy Spirit active in creation, in the work of revelation, word of inspiration, the work of regeneration, the work of intercession, the work of sanctification. You all know what regeneration is, don't you? Regeneration is our being born again. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, who convicts us and draws us to Christ. What else? Intercession, prayer. The work of sanctification, that work in which God makes us more like His Son. God's goal for every believer is to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is done through the work of the Holy Spirit working in us, changing us, conforming us to the image of His Son. By the way, let's call that life transformation. Our lives are being transformed. Our lives were transformed when we were delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Our lives are being continually transformed as we become more like Christ. And isn't that what salvation basically is? Someone's life amazingly transformed through the power of the Holy Spirit. What else we have? The work of comforting. Go back, John 1. the work of the miraculous, the work of resurrection. Keep going. He speaks, he witnesses, he teaches, he guides, he leads, and forbids. What's the one last slide? Oh, sweet. Well, we've gotten through all of them. See how familiar I was with them. But the fact is, we need to give more attention to the person of the Holy Spirit, regardless of what happens. What would it look like? Just for fun and games. What would it look like if all of a sudden the power of the Holy Spirit was unleashed in this room? Do we know? Do we want it? That's the thing. Do we really want the Spirit to transform our lives? And I love the answers down here. I love the answers. Do we want it, Ilaria? Yes. We ought to want that. We ought to see, you know, our country is in deep, deep trouble. Would you agree? I read the other day that there is a group of sexual perverts who is becoming more vocal in what they want to see happen in this country. We've followed the LGBT, the lesbians, the gays, the bis, the transgender. They have been very vocal. Things are changing in this country to benefit them. But here's the next group, pedophiles. Pedophiles are making the same claims, and they're finding psychiatrists who will say that that kind of sexual attraction is normal. God help America when we look at those things as being normal. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine what might happen if I saw abuse like that taking place. I can't imagine. Do you know what happens to pedophiles when they go to prison? Prisoners have no mercy on pedophiles. By the way, the last time I checked, boys and girls, the Scripture forbids sexual perversion, doesn't it? But in America, we think it's okay because we don't want to offend anybody. We want to be extremely diverse. But I'm going to tell you, if the church started living under the power of the Holy Spirit, we could change America. If the Holy Spirit would do in us, if we allowed Him to do in us what He really wants to do, we could change America. We could change this church. We could change this community. We could change Columbus. We could change the city, the county, the state. We could change America if the Holy Spirit was at work in us doing what He is already desiring to do. What do you think? Does that make sense? Stand with me as I read the Scripture this morning. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Who is going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Every believer, everyone who trusts Christ. Now understand this, it doesn't mean to be baptized for sin. It means to be baptized on the basis of the forgiveness of your sin. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Are there any more words applicable here to our country, to our world? Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray today, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would fill this place, that your Holy Spirit would work and be active in our lives. Father, teach us today what we need to learn. Equip us to live that out and accompany us as we leave from this place so that we live our lives for your honor and for your glory, for you alone are worthy. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. I remember several years ago, and Gene, I don't know if you remember this, but you're one of the only people I ever shared this with. I shared this with you and Jenny, if you remember. And I didn't share it with anybody else, to be real honest, because I was a little fearful of what people would say. I'm going to read to you from Isaiah chapter 44. But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing upon your descendants. And I will tell you that that happened in 1993, when a group of pastors from Central Ohio went to Euclid, Ohio, to a Catholic retreat center to pray for when Billy Graham came later that year. And I experienced things in that meeting. I don't care if you think I'm nuts or not. I'm just going to tell you. I experienced things in that meeting that I had never experienced previously, and I haven't experienced much since then. There were Pentecostals, there were Charismatics. There were Presbyterians, there were Methodists, there were Lutherans. I think there were a few Catholics, and yeah, there were even a few Baptists. But we got together, and all we decided to do was pray and worship. Nobody preached. Nobody spoke in tongues. We just prayed and worshiped, and specifically prayed for one another and for the presence of God to fall. In that meeting, I've told you before, relationship with my father. Never had a really good relationship with him. When I was 19 years old, I caught him in bed with another woman. And I had preached on forgiveness because I really believed that I'd forgiven my dad. And in the middle of that time, I realized that I had never really forgiven him. Never. You know what caused me to believe that? It was the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life, the power of the Holy Spirit transforming my life, the power of the Holy Spirit bringing me to where God wanted me to be. When we'd have breakout sessions, and six or eight would be together, and we'd be praying and reading Scripture, and then all of a sudden, I'm sitting here in this group, and a man named Ray Dempsey, who was pastor of a church up Polaris, began to speak. We were in prayer, and he was speaking directly to me. He didn't know it, but as soon as he began to speak, I knew it. And he was speaking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he wasn't speaking in tongues, but he was speaking according to the Word of God. And as a person who values the Word of God, I had to have what he was saying according to the Word of God. And here's what happened. I found myself sitting there, surrounded by the grace of God, and nobody else. I heard no other voice except his. I was not aware of anybody else in that room except Ray and the presence of God. And it felt like I was swimming in the ocean of God's grace. I had never experienced something like that before. And it was amazingly freeing. And I began to understand the grace of God. And there have been times when I've had to rein that stuff in. And I've done it because of fear of what you might think. Does that make sense? After all, I was in a church one time when in the service, two women, during the singing of the hymns and praise, two women raised their hands in the service. And people around them called the pastor all afternoon saying, "This can't happen." And I love this pastor. He was a man of God. You know what he did? He didn't confront the women or the people who complained. He told the women, "Don't do that again." Are we limiting the Holy Spirit? Are we? We talked on Wednesday about what happens. What would we do if all of a sudden Standy stood up in the middle of the service and began to prophesy? What would we do? We'd say, "Sandy's lost her mind. She ought to sit down and let's have the rest of the service." Would we think that? What if? Just what if? And this is true. This is absolutely true because Wally knows this as well. Lady worshiping with us from Nigeria said, "I come here because I like your preaching, but I don't feel free to worship. I don't feel free to worship. In my country, we dance before the Lord. In my country, we are expressive in our worship. In my country, it seems like we're more on fire for God." Is that what she said, Wally? It's exactly what she said. And sometimes I refer to us, jokingly most of the time, as the church of the frozen chosen. We believe that God's called us, don't we? We believe that God is working in us, and He is. But don't bring that Holy Spirit stuff in here. What would happen? What would happen if God began to pour out His Spirit on dry, parched, thirsty people and woke them up and said, "Here's what we can do"? Is there any limit to what God can do? Do you believe, I mean, really, do you believe that there is no limit to what God can do? See, what we do sometimes is we put God in a box. And we won't let our God be outside the box. If we can't understand Him, then, we want to understand our God. I can tell you this, if I can understand God, I don't need Him. I don't. And neither do you. God works outside the box. And God can do in our lives what He chooses to do. It is strangely quiet in this place. Strangely quiet. Why do you think it is that we neglect the Holy Spirit? Why is it that we neglect the third person of the Trinity? By the way, God the Father, right? God the Son. What's next? God the Holy Spirit. All three God. The triune God, one God with three distinct personalities, with three distinct roles in our lives. God the Father, God the Son, and this other guy that we'll talk about once in a while. And we chuckle about that. Isn't that the truth? Just curious. David, you listening today? Just want to let you know. David said to his grandma last week, when I said I was going to preach about the Holy Spirit, David had already been talking to Gene about the Holy Spirit. And so that's an amazing thing. How old are you, David? 12. I wish we all would have that kind of the desire to know about the Holy Spirit. I wish that all of us would want to know that. And so what we need to do is understand who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is for every believer. And here's what happens when the Holy Spirit falls. We receive power. You shall receive what? The power to witness, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We receive the power to serve all through the book of Acts and in 1 Corinthians. When the Holy Spirit falls, we will develop a new passion. A new passion for those who are lost. Somebody just died and went to hell. Wait a minute, somebody else just died now and went to hell. Do we care? Oh, yeah, we say we care. When's the last time in the power of the Holy Spirit that we shared the gospel with someone who needed to hear. Guilty. I'm guilty as well as you. When is the last time we cared enough to share the gospel? You know, here's what we think as Southern Baptists. Here's what we think about missions. We'll give some to send all those other guys every place else. You know, as long as we don't have to make that commitment, as long as we don't have to make that sacrifice, it's okay. But do you ever think that maybe God has called you to the mission field? What if God called your son or your daughter to the mission field? What if, Jamie, God calls Lauren to the mission field? What's mom and dad going to think? You don't have to tell me. You know, that's between you and your kids. But Wally, what if God calls one of your kids, or God calls one of your kids, Leanne? God really didn't call you. He's called you something. He didn't call you to go to Bolivia. You're packing their bags? Wally, you're probably going to pack their bags anyway, but that's okay. When I first believed I was called to ministry, we were in a tent revival. And I'm sitting next to Diane, and I really believe that God had called me to be a missionary to Brazil. I don't know why I thought that, but I did know that God called me into the ministry. And as soon as God called me in the ministry, I was obedient, right? Not even close. Y'all read the book of Jonah, you know my story. By the way, my last name is what? Jonah means... That's my testimony. God called me. I ran as far and as fast as I could away from Him. I ran back to doing things that I did before I was a Christian. But God doesn't give up. And I'd go to church, and the pastor would give an invitation, and I would hold on to that pew like I was going to squeeze it to sawdust. You ever done that? You know God wants you to do something, but you're holding on. You're not giving it up. And one day, I won't grab you like that, Jim, but one day God grabbed me by the collar because I'd been telling God, I'll get ready when I'm ready. I'll get right when I'm ready. And God grabbed me by the collar and said, today is the day. Today. And coincidentally, and even though I don't believe in coincidence, people began to come to me and say, I believe that God has a call on your life. I'd known that. People just validated that for me. Do you know how that happens? It happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. We wonder why we don't have revival. We don't listen to the Holy Spirit. We're not energized by the Holy Spirit. We don't have the passion of the Holy Spirit. We don't have the purity that the Holy Spirit wants to bring to us. The power, the passion, and the purity of the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants to do in our lives. So what keeps us from allowing Him to do it? First, sin. Sin keeps us from allowing the Holy Spirit to do in our lives what He wants to do. Psalm 66:18 says, if I treasured iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. We want to hold on to sin sometimes. Something else that keeps the Holy Spirit from working in our lives is apathy. We really don't care. We say we do. We come to church on Sunday morning, and we say we do. But on Thursday morning, how about that? Or Saturday morning, or when you pinch your fingers in a car door. Ouch. Brenda says, geez. But are we to be filled with the Spirit? Are we? I baptized the piano a few weeks ago, if you remember, doing that illustration about being filled with the Spirit. Power, passion, purity, life transformation. Here is what is normal. When a church or people are filled with the Holy Spirit, here is what is absolutely normal. Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Verse 41. So those who received His word were baptized, and there were added that day, what? About 3,000 souls. What followed the coming of the Holy Spirit? What followed the power of the Holy Spirit and the passion given to the early church? What followed that? People were saved. People were saved in numbers. That day, a miracle happened, but 3,000 people, 3,000 souls were added to the church. What could happen here? Or what can happen in Gehenna if we operated in the Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit? What could happen? Well, I tell you what, it just keeps getting quieter and quieter in this place. Here's some other things that happened. In the power of the Holy Spirit, in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, and the breaking of bread and the prayers. I'm going to say something you're not going to like. Some of you are not going to like. Every believer, every person who is a member of this church should be, ought to be involved in some small group. Everyone who is a believer, who is a member of this church, anyone who's a believer and a member of any church needs to be involved in a small group. Why? Because that's where we learn. That's where we learn the most about our relationship with God. That's where we learn most about what it takes to become Jesus. The truth is, some of you have already stopped listening to me this morning. I know that. I've said something, triggered your mind going somewhere else. You found a Bible verse, you're off on there. I understand that. Some of you, like Ken, are asleep. No, I'm just kidding, Ken. But in a small group, there's more interaction. There's more discussion. There are more ideas. Sometimes you get more into the Scripture. We ought to be, and shame on you if you're not. We ought to be involved in small groups. If we are ever going to become the people of God that God wants us to be, then we have to grow in Christ. Discipleship is absolutely necessary. Ever since I've been here, Tori, you know this. It's not enough to know what you believe. It is not. You need to know why you believe it and where you can find it. If it's not in this book, we don't believe it. And if this book talks about the deity of Christ, and it does, when a group comes to your door or you're talking to someone in a restaurant or someplace else and they deny who Jesus is, you have to be able, not in a confrontational way, but we have to be able to defend who Jesus is. Jesus said he's God. Over 60 times in the Gospel of John, Jesus either claims to be God or someone else claims that he is. He's God. I once had somebody tell me that the resurrection was only a spiritual resurrection, that it was not a physical resurrection. The only reason that we are overcome sin, death, and the grave, the only reason that we are able to have victory over sin is because of the physical resurrection of Jesus. By the way, didn't he appear to the apostles? Did they know that he was physical? Absolutely. He appeared to 500 after that. He appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They knew that he was in a physical body. You need to know what you believe, but you need to know why you believe it, and you need to know where to find it. Fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and we are really good at that fellowship thing. We really are, kind of. If Baptists mean by the word fellowship, eat, we're in. But fellowship is much more than that. Fellowship is getting involved in each other's lives. Fellowship is understanding what makes somebody else tick. Fellowship is being there when somebody else's life is falling apart. Fellowship is being there to pray for those who have a need. Fellowship is just going over and sitting down and crying with someone if that's all you can do. It's much more than having a potluck. I love them, as you can tell. But fellowship is much more than that. Understand, these things were happening in the power of the Holy Spirit. I just looked at my watch. Why? Why did I do that? I don't want to know what time it is. And I've said to you before that when a You know what it means when a Baptist preacher looks at his watch, right? Absolutely nothing. Because I'm going to preach till I'm finished. Lady over here, her name was Mary Colopy, and Mary is gone now, but the thing about it is, she used to say to me, "Tom, you preach till you run out of words." And I said, no, I have a whole lot more words. I just want to preach till the Holy Spirit's finished. To the breaking of bread and the prayers. We need to be people of prayer, don't we? God answers in regard to prayer. God responds to our prayer. Maybe not the way we think he should, but he does respond. And he doesn't do everything we want him to do, but he does respond. Look at the next thing. Verse 43. And awe came upon every soul. What's awe? Well, I've heard people say, well, it's a reverence. It is a reverence, but it's much more than that. It is much. When we say something's awesome, what do we mean? We are overcome. We are absolutely overcome. You know, I've heard the mountains described as being awesome. Overcome with the beauty and the hugeness and all those things of mountains. We need to be overcome by the awesomeness of God. I ask you again, what would happen to us if the Holy Spirit just fell on us? Would we be in awe? Just a question. We need to be more aware. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come and join us in worship so that we can be molded into the image of the Son of God. Ministry. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. I want to tell you that we do a good job at that. We really do. We do a really good job at meeting needs of the people here and of other people as they come to us. What was it? How many families we help at Christmas this year? Six? We helped six families. And what we have, and we deliberately did this, what did we put across the front of the sanctuary? The gifts that you all had bought, because we needed to see what we were doing. Not because to pat ourselves on the back, but to see what God was doing through this church to meet the needs of others. And some of those people are desperately in need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Thanks for the food, God. Now let's eat. What's this say about that temple thing? What's it say, Wally? Day by day. Day by day, they were coming to the temple to worship. I know we all have jobs. I know we're all busy. You remember it was two years ago, we opened the church up in the morning for people to come and pray. Remember that? You know how many people we had come? The most we had on any given day was six. Six. I understand we have jobs. I do. I understand that there are limitations, but I don't understand the lack of God, of passion for God's people to pray, including me. I don't understand that. Years ago, Deb, I came into the office one day, you'll remember, and I said, "I'm so busy today, I haven't had time to pray." And Deb looked at me like I was some kind of alien. "You haven't prayed yet today?" Convicted. Our day ought to start with prayer. We ought to live our lives in an attitude of prayer. And maybe if we did, we'd sense the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. Praising God is what? Worship? I went to that dictionary again, that Webster's 1828 dictionary. Here's what it says. Worship is the state of worthiness. Our God is worthy. we worship him because he's worthy. Something else it says, worship is to adore, to reverence with supreme respect. When we come to worship, can we say that we adore him? Can we say that we worship him or we reverence him with supreme respect? I know that that we do. I believe that we make an effort to do that, but at the same time, I think sometimes we're distracted by things around us. Sometimes we just read the words on a screen. Sometimes we respond to the praise team. And I'm not saying that any of those things are bad, because worship is a heart attitude. Have you come prepared to worship? And coming to worship, being prepared to come to worship, does not start entering that door or that door. It doesn't start entering that door or those doors. Being prepared to worship starts now. It continues through tonight. It continues through Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And when we come to this place, it ought to be a pep rally. You ever been to pep rally? Yay team, yay whatever. And we ought to come in here once in a while and say, yay God. Yay God. Look what God has done in my life. I wish that we have somebody just throw off whatever shackles and stand and testify every Sunday. I wish we had some testimony every Sunday morning. I wish we'd have a testimony every time we came together and said, look, this is what God is doing in my life. And if God is doing this in my life, this is what he can do in yours. But anyway, do you think something like that's contagious? Do you? I can tell you this, apathy is contagious. Discouragement is contagious. Disappointment is contagious. A bad attitude is contagious, right? Do you think praising God would be contagious? Do you think that we could hold it in? No. Even Jim Corter would be up dancing. I said that just because you're there. Did you hear that? I'll tell you, these Contreras kids are just crazy. Jim can't stand and praise the Lord because he works on computers. Oh, brother. Oh, man. And day by day, the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. I've told you before, if every church in Gehenna was filled twice every Sunday morning, 70% of the people of Gehenna would still be outside of church. 70%. Shouldn't we go looking for the 70%? We're having community day on June 11th. I can't understand why people don't want to be involved. We have an opportunity to reach this community for Christ. You know, we're going to put bounce houses out. We're going to have food, but it's not about that stuff. It's about reaching people for the kingdom. It's not about popping corn, making cotton candy, making hot dogs. It's not about any of those things. And we're going to do them all. We want to show them that Christianity can be fun. But at the same time, we need to be concerned about reaching people for Jesus. Come the next two Sundays, we're going to have an evangelism lesson. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about things. Sunday after that, I'm going to preach a sermon that I heard Ken Silva preach. I'll tell you right now, it is not mine. It will be his, but I will add things to it. I love you, Ilaria. You know, it's fun to preach and have people talk back to you. You ever get that idea? Marty said hallelujah. Once in a while, somebody says amen. Once in a while, people say, oh, I need a pillow. Anyway, I'm going to pick up my watch. You know what we're supposed to do. You know that we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the only thing keeping any of us from being filled with the Holy Spirit is we don't want to. We're not ready to sacrifice. Let me ask you this. What are you willing to give up in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What are you willing to sacrifice in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What would it look like? Can't you just see something happening? I'm going back here and pick on these guys back here because they think they can hide back in this area. But what would happen if God fell on this area? What would happen? You know, there's a whole bunch of old people back here. No, I'm just I'm just playing with you. But what would happen if God fell on this section of the church and they got up and praised God and doing all that thing? And Maggie over there would go, whoa, they're nuts. No. What would happen? You suppose a revival would break out? Talked about revival before. One man in Wales prayed for revival, Evan Roberts. One man. A group of businessmen prayed in New York City in the 50s for revival. In Asbury, in Wilmore, Kentucky, Asbury College and Seminary, one student stood up during chapel and confessed sin. I am not the person I have claimed to be. And revival broke out. And professors who had been away on sabbatical came back. And they canceled classes. And students came to the Lord in droves. What if? What if? Pray with me. Father, we thank you for your word today and how it speaks to us. I pray, Heavenly Father, that today